All right. Welcome to the Alpha Protocol Show.
Woo woo.
I did not listen to that episode, but I think I'm going to at some point.
This is episode 448, and I am Chris, as always, joined by Alpha Protocol's number one fan, Tony.
It fucking sucks.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
I watch it say things like Alpha Protocol sucks.
Jeff is here as well.
I have never played Alpha Protocol, so I have, you know, I don't
know. Don't, it's not in that game.
I've heard, hey, from Mr. Two Worlds 2 himself, I've heard it's pretty amazing.
If you hate yourself, you'll love Alpha Protocol.
I hate myself. I mean, that much is true. I was going to say the most disappointing thing about doing the Alpha Protocol podcast was finding out that it's not available in the Xbox One.
It's amazing that they wouldn't put the energy into transferring one of the worst games from last generation to work.
I assume Sega's just saving it to make an H3 remaster.
As they should.
And Earl is here.
He's here.
The Alpha Protocol Master, though, I did listen to that, and you know, I mean, aside from adding in the opening music and all, but I did listen to the whole thing, and I can't say that you've turned me around to liking the game, but I may pop it in at some point.
I replay it.
Suffer again because
I have already played it.
I will say this much. It is very awkward talking to yourself for half an hour. It is such a strange phenomenon.
I used to do it on YouTube, so I could I can relate a little bit.
I do not seem to own Alpha Protocol anymore.
That's a shame. What a crying shame.
Oh, I guess I won't replay it. It is a shame. Maybe I'll just have to wait for that that Earl is promising.
The worst part about doing your own like cast or whatever, like unscripted, is like when the dead ear hits, there's no one to help you. Like when you can't remember what you're gonna say, there's no one to like fill in that gap.
There's no time to come in and make a stupid joke.
If you're like me, you're too lazy to edit it. It's just like horrible.
It's like you had a string where you were like doing Breaking Bad like rundowns
that actually got views, surprisingly.
But at that point, I guess I kind of got introduced to this other guy, Rambo Raff, that you used to watch.
I actually still like that guy. I don't watch him as much anymore, but I watch stuff of his here and there, like once or twice a year. I'll check out what he's bitching about.
But yeah, his stuff is very much unscripted, and there is like that dead air, like he will just like put his head down and not say anything for 30
seconds. He'll start to like drink his Mellow Yellow or whatever the fuck. And
it's sometimes like I enjoy some of his commentary sometimes, but there's often times where it is just so hysterical.
Honestly, for me, there's a part of me that like appreciates those YouTube channels like that almost more than, because honestly, some of the like polished ones suck, like Jeremy Johns. I don't care about that guy's fucking review on a film. He sucks, you know? Like, at least Rambo Raff has a very specific, like
this is
point
what
of view. Thought, yeah. Yeah, and, like, you know, he has a knowledge. Like, he has a certain expertise. Like, this fucking, you know, some of these guys just suck. Anyways, going complete fucking alleyway here. So
it's hard. But I do like the idea of shows, you know, focusing on like one game, which I found very interesting what Earl did.
Yes.
I bet it was hard for that 27 minutes.
Yes. And I just in case, since Jeff didn't listen, I did threaten the next time you folks all take off, I'm going to talk about Metroid Other M.
Yes.
So.
A game I think a lot of us liked.
Yes, I liked Other M. So we could do that with you, Earl.
There we go.
I'm not hooking up my Wii, but
I don't know about replaying it, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed that game, and I'm going to take those good memories with me.
I will say, since Metroid did, you know, just came up here, and this will probably make Jeff sad, Earl put out some numbers. He retweeted some numbers earlier today that indicated Splatoon has sold more in the two games that they've had than the entire Metroid series.
Then all of the Metroids combined, like every Metroid game?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I
can't be right.
Metroid isn't
there's a lot of Metroid games.
Metroid's not popular. Sorry,
but the most popular Metroid game is Prime, and I think that only sold 2 million.
How much has Splatoon sold?
Well, the Splatoon 2 is at 8.7.
I wonder if it's just like a sign of the fact that
this, it's just
well, like, no, hold on, hear me out for one second, both the Splatoon games are modern games and the audience is much bigger than it used to be, like, you know, like gaming that, audience is bigger than 1991, you know.
I see, but that's because I mean it's not like we've had okay one there are two I mean, technically, three Metroid games on the Wii, which is still Nintendo's highest selling platform.
No, I know, but like. Let's say if you're starting from that era, then there's only been, like, what, three or four Metroid games? Like,
and there's still been no two Splatoon games.
I'm trying to make this look good, Errol.
I know you're trying, but your logic doesn't work because ultimately what it's going to come down to is the fact that it's still only two games, one of those games is on the Wii U.
Ultimately, like, it doesn't matter one way or another, right? Like,
sure, it doesn't matter. No,
I mean, ultimately what it shows is even though it's not a super popular series, that Nintendo does still... Someone at Nintendo still likes it enough to keep greenlighting games for it. Because there are a lot of Metroid games.
I don't understand why it's not bigger. Because it's like, Castlevania, like, alright, does it do Castlevania numbers? Or is Castlevania, like, 2 million or less?
These were just Nintendo published titles, I believe.
True.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general, like, is like that genre not fucking popular? Like, it seems super popular. Like,
I mean, is it though? I mean, it seems it's popular I think it's popular with gamers. I think it's popular online, but I could be wrong. I feel like the biggest Metroidvania game is Arkham Asylum.
You're probably not wrong on that.
No, and that's not a bad thing. I think it's a good example of that genre, actually.
It is, but that had one of the biggest IPs in all of entertainment. I think they're great games. I mean, you know, not just Metroid, but the whole type. But I do think that inherently, it's a genre that's very kind of
it's a gamer's game because it's very dense
to get into because it's a lot of like memorizing this entire map and caring enough to backtrack and figure out. It's like a puzzle game inside of an action game. Which is
not a mess. It isn't. Like, it's not something a lot of my, like, I have friends who like games, but it's like, you know, it's like mostly like Madden or Rocket League or, you know, just like very simple games and that.
Hey, Madden's not simple. What do you think?
It isn't. I can attest to that. But, like, you know, like, again, this type of thing where it's just, like, exploring a map is not going to be the, you know, it's just not, they'll never be interested in it. So I get that, but, like, I feel like that genre, like, almost every indie game forever there seemed like it was, like, a Metroidvania type thing, you know?
And I think it's because it's a very... I don't want to say easy genre to make, but you are kind of making like one map and just having people go back and forth through it. So it pads the game without padding the game.
And it's established, you know, it's an established roadmap for a game. Like, I will say this though, anyone who's not played Axiom Verge, it's amazing. Fucking play it.
These aren't from any sort of official source, but it looks like Castlevania may have sold about 20 million copies.
From all of its games?
All of its games, yeah.
Dude, all right, so like I have a warped sense then of the popularity of games, I guess, because it's the same.
Like Nintendo.
No, that's not even Nintendo, it's Konami.
On Nintendo platform.
Well, I'm I'm actually more surprised because I thought the Art of Shadows game did really well, or at least the first one did.
It's Castlevania. That's like one of the big names. Like I thought like each one of those games would do a couple mil. Like,
oh, I mean, that surely isn't true because when was the last time we actually got one?
We're getting one next month.
Lords of Shadow 2.
And we're getting one next month, but it's a collection of the old ones. Again, yeah. Lords of Shadows 2 was the last actual game, and that's what, 5-6 years old now.
Yeah, so this doesn't break down. Like I can't tell you if like this includes like Lords of Shadow and all that. Like it doesn't actually break down, but it does have Metroid at 14 on this list as well. So there's that, I guess.
I don't like these numbers, but it's just proof of like why we got Trump, why we have Trump and not.
Wow, that is a jump.
Wow, that's
yeah, thank you.
Here's another number.
Follow my theory. It's just like that people don't appreciate things that are good.
Here's a number that will make you sad, Jeff. Metal Gear has sold 49.2 million copies across all of its games. So you can fit Metroid and Castlevania into Metal Gear.
Wow. And you can fit Metal Gear into like something even stupider, I'm sure.
give me something stupid. I'll see if we can fit it in there.
Angry Birds.
Well, Angry Birds is difficult because it's like downloads.
I'm trying to think of a console.
You can fit like everything into Angry Birds.
Like, what's the console game that I would loathe that sold like a billion copies? What is it?
Well, I want to say, and I could be wrong, I feel like you could fit Metal Gear into Wii Fit.
You can. No, you cannot.
Okay.
Close. Wii Fit is on this list at 44 million.
But again, that is also, I think, two games compared to Metal Gear is like 15, 16.
Now, if you include Wii Fit and Wii Play,
I think Wii Play alone might do it, but Wii Play, because it came with the controller, is such an odd one to count.
Yeah.
I think one of the bigger things about like your original story that started this though is that like Splatoon is so big. Like,
yeah, but Splatoon is an interesting one because
I think it might be more in Japan. Honestly.
Yeah, I think it's more than half of the sales are in Japan because it doesn't feel like a massive franchise.
And it feels like when you play, you're playing with Japanese players a lot, like more than any other game to me. I mean, I don't play Splatoon 2 like anymore, but like. I played Splatoon 1 a decent amount. It's like it was a lot of Japanese players always.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to spin off of that, like you know, with Splatoon being so popular in Japan, because there's been a little bit of a talk today about a new Persona game that's been, and people are like, why are they making? It's basically you know Dynasty Warriors Persona, right?
Oh,
but,
okay.
But those games are still really popular over in Japan. That seems to be who this is targeted at. So.
And to be fair, if you set the right license on it, it does decent. You know, like Hyrule Warriors did really well.
Yeah, it got ported to everything.
So,
and like they make like Gundam games that are like you know Dynasty Warriors type games. Like those games do well with the fan base that wants those types of games.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Dynasty Warrior is essentially the same thing as Telltale or the Lego games. It's a formula you can apply a bunch of popular IPs to, and it does decent business for you. It feels different enough because you have different characters and specials, but it's still pretty much the same XXYYX combos.
Yeah. That was Persona Scramble.
Yes, and I think the real reason people are upset about it is, I mean, part of it was because one of the main characters, Joker, launched for Smash Brothers Ultimate last week as the first DLC character, and we've heard about Persona 5S since the start of this year, so everybody assumed that this would be a Switch version of Persona 5.
It's an awesome troll.
I mean, technically speaking, it is a Switch version of Persona 5. It's just not the game people anticipated.
Right. Yeah, no, nobody was going, nobody that was going, I want Persona 5 on Switch was going, I want Persona 5 Dynasty Warriors on Switch.
Yeah. So it's the ultimate monkey paw. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
stated very explicitly what you
very,
want.
Very. Like, you wanted Persona 5S. You got Persona 5S. You just didn't know what it was.
It's all right. I saw a tweet from you know, kind of like an industry analyst that he was joking about Persona 5S. Said, don't worry, Switch fans. There's still everything except it's all the other letters of the alphabet. Except
for, S and R, I think.
R, right, yeah. Yeah, because the other one's the Royal Edition, right? Like,
yeah.
So if you have all those other letters, there's still 24 more chances for a Switch version to come out.
You got it. Just closing the loop a bit on the Nintendo sales numbers. Just because it pisses people off, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has become the highest selling fighting game of all time. usurping Super Smash Bros. Brawl as the highest selling fighting game of all time.
Brawl was the Wii version?
Yeah. And the only reason I say that is because people hate when you refer to Smash Bros. As a fighting game. So.
I mean, it is, right?
It's a fighting game. It is.
I mean, you totally fight. Is.
I'm no expert.
How is it not a fighting game? Like, I don't understand.
Like, what is it if it's not a fighting game?
A party game, a brawler.
It's a party fighter. It's a fucking fighting game, dude. It's a fucking fighting game.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that I've been around the block enough time to know that there are a lot of people who will find ways to find some super niche sub-genre way.
Every character controls the same. So does every fighting game, dude. Every fighting game, the characters have the same fucking moves, basically, dude. Sorry.
You can kick, you can punch.
No, but I'm like, all the combos are built upon a same, like, you know, like a Street Fighter, it's like the half circle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all, like, in Mortal Kombat, like, every character will have a back forward Y or a back forward X. Like, it's just fucking, I don't know, whatever. Sorry. I don't know shit about fighting games, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things. And, of course, it is, I mean, it's really the healthiest fighting game franchise in the world, being that it will now, I think, dominate the first, second, and third slot as highest-selling, and easy to highest-selling franchise in fighting games. I think it's, like, Street Fighter has a big name, but I want to say Mortal Kombat sells more.
Which it's more not appealing to me.
Like, actually, I think Mortal Kombat and Tekken sells more than Street Fighter.
Let's see. I still have that list up. Mortal. Mortal. Street Fighter has this list, 45.2. Mortal Kombat has sold 32.5.
Okay.
Series wide?
Yeah.
Which is weird, because like, the recent ones I thought have really done really well. And then Smash Bros. Is at 55 million, so... Wow. Just
yeah, these numbers might be a little out of date because they don't have Smash at 50 million at 50 million yet.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's the gist of it. Nintendo missed their revised target. They just missed it. I think it was like 16.95 when they projected 17. They announced that they're not doing an E3 press conference, which. At this point, I don't even know why that's an announcement.
Right. When was the last time they did an actual E3 press conference?
That would have been
years ago, at least, right?
The Wii U. That would have been 2012.
Right. Like, I assume they're just gonna do a direct
digital, yeah.
And then Treehouse, right? Like,
yeah. I think that's the gist of it. We got a date for Mario Maker 2, which is
yep.
June 29th.
Super excited for that.
I totally forgot about that game altogether. Like,
and now you have a fun surprise to look forward to in June, Jeff.
I'm sure, like, I'm not looking forward to it, honestly, but, like, because of its release date, I'll probably be all over that. So
you got to be on it and then trade some levels. Get back on the Facebook group with the level training.
I think I made like 2 levels I was kind of proud of last time. So we'll see.
But now you can make levels with Cat Mario.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I like Nintendo, but I like that in the press release they really had to state that this is a brand new entry in the Mario Maker franchise.
Honestly, like I'll probably buy it because like I'm assuming they'll do like 100 new levels like they did. Like, you know, the first game had Mario levels to play, basically. You know,
did it? I know the 3DS version did.
The Wii U version did.
It basically had like a single player game to play through. Like it wasn't okay. like it overly wasn't captured polished.
Like a single yeah. player game, but it was like, hey, oh, here's levels.
Yeah.
That are you know curated made by Nintendo.
It was enough. Yeah. It was, in my opinion, good enough. So yeah, maybe. I mean, again, I'll be desperate, I'm sure. For like a week.
Well, I mean, just to kind of throw it out, the Switch's summer is actually really kind of ramping up. They also announced that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order, is July 19th, I want to say.
Yeah, I'm in for that. Give me that.
I'm getting that.
So it's that. It's Fire Emblem, the Three Houses of July as well. They just announced a remastered of Red Faction.
Like Red Faction.
Dear, I think so.
Like the
first one too.
Not Gorilla.
Huh.
I would want Red Faction 2.
What do you though?
Probably not. But
Geomod.
Oh, it's
I've like fond memories of the Geomod shit.
Which one is Gorilla?
It's the that's
them, yeah.
The one where you can blow everything up.
Yeah, it's the one they are all on Mars, but it's the world one where you could like take down basically you took down like the factories and stuff and
So it's that one.
Oh, okay.
So that's the same. They just remastered it.
Yeah, that what was that called? The remastered, right?
Remastered. Okay, since you're also talking about remastered that make no sense to me, they announced, I think this was last week, but we didn't have a show.
Yeah.
13 is going to remastered. And you're probably saying, like, what's 13? And I think that's what most people would say.
So who was asking for this?
I honestly don't know.
Like, that game, like, when that game came out, the thing about that game was that, like, the art style, it was like very unique. It was very stunning. Like, and it's still kind of cool. But I actually only I think rented the game. I remember it not being great. I remember it getting like very mixed reviews. So yeah, I don't understand.
It's not even like as far as because it's based off of a comic book. I don't think the comic has seen a resurgence of popularity. So I don't. It's like somebody was like going through their desk drawing their way out and like. Oh, I guess we have this game. We can do something with it. Like, I don't get the purpose of this. Like, I feel like once they remastered Cell Damage, everybody's like, anything's on the table now.
Huh. Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, but it's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC this year if you want to get 13.
I'm all for game preservation, and it was cool as hell to re-releasing, but yeah, it's just like a weird. It's just a weird one. Like, okay.
It's also weird. It's also weird because like the art style was part of what made it unique, but it also was at a time where first-person shooters were still kind of newish in the console space, so that helped. Like, now, like, I don't know what's going to make it stand out.
Nothing. I mean, it wasn't even again at the time the only thing about it was the art style. That was it. Like no one really actually cared about it once it came out. I felt like, you know, I don't know.
This game needs to launch at $20. Like it can't be more than that, right?
We'll see.
I know companies have done dumber things, but like $20 makes this like a curiosity pickup at least.
Yes.
It's evidently releasing November 13th. So like it's right in the midst of holiday season, like big AAA space. I can't see this being even a $40 game. Like $20, maybe I'm like, I don't know. I'm not doing nothing. Maybe I pick it up, but I can't see this doing well if it's priced higher than that.
Did we talk about the Castlevania lineup?
No, but we can. It was also on Earl's list. But do you have it, Jeff?
No, I don't. I mean, I have in my head my thoughts about it.
What are your thoughts while you pulled up this?
I mean, I'm excited to play Bloodlines. I've never played that. So mainly that, and also I wish some GBA games were on it, but hopefully we'll get another one.
I didn't know Kid Dracula was a thing.
Me neither, really. I remember Chris writing about it earlier, like this year or something. But I
played it.
Before you wrote about that, I had never heard of Kid Dracula.
So it was a Game Boy game that I played. It is like loosely connected to, I have to put my birthday in. It is loosely connected to the Castlevania series.
It's in the collection. I mean,
it's connected. It's an interesting choice, but here is the game list. Castlevania, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse.
Fuck yes.
Super Castlevania 4.
Fuck yes.
Castlevania the Adventure.
Don't know what that is at all.
That's the first Castlevania Game Boy game. It is incredibly hard.
Okay, great.
Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, which is the second Castlevania Game Boy game.
How's that?
That's better than Adventure. Okay. Castlevania Bloodlines, which is the only Genesis release of the Castlevania series. And then Kid Dracula, which is not the Game Boy version, because this is in color, so this must be the Famicom version, but translated.
Wow.
So yeah, it is. It's basically early,
very early stuff.
What? Oh, you want? And maybe I mistake. They don't have Rondo of Blood.
They do not have Rondo of Blood.
I said to Chris right away. No Rondo of Blood. And no fucking GBA games. Like, come on.
Well, games make sense. Rondo actually
should be there, dude.
Yeah, Rondo came out before Bloodlines, so it's weird that it's not on here.
Yeah, because it seems like they're going for the pre-Metroidvania stuff, which is fine. But Rondo of Blood was before that, so it's odd that that's not included.
I've been wanting to play Rondo of Blood for, like, fucking ever. And
it's weird that it's not on here, or Dracula X, which was basically the Americanized version of Rondo, which was the second Castlevania game on the Super Nintendo. Neither of them are here. Maybe they're like a secret unlock.
Well, it sounds like it really sounds like they're just saving this up for a second collection down the road.
I hope so. I really like. I want a GBA collection. I think that's like the peak of the series, honestly. And the DS games, like the handheld collection, do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do the DS games though.
Was there like some? There's like some touchscreen shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fucking press A to fill touchscreen. You know, like.
And I think what would have been a nice bonus since the Wii shop eShop went down. Would have been if they included the Adventure Rebirth.
Yeah, that would have been nice too.
Because I don't think that's on any other system.
No, it was Wii exclusive, WiiWare exclusive, and you cannot get that game anymore. And I heard that was a really good remake too. Okay, I never played.
Wait, what game?
Castlevania the Adventure Rebirth.
It was a remake of the Game Boy game that's on this collection.
So on this collection, we're getting just the Game Boy game.
You're getting the original Game Boy game, yeah.
And then the remake was on what?
The Wii.
Yeah, it was part of the WiiWare games, like the original
really
indie games. Yeah, was like one of, like they
did. I don't remember that.
They did a Konami did a bunch of like Rebirth games.
Yeah, Grandius and yeah.
What?
Yeah, I feel like the Wii. I feel like the WiiWare was one of those weird things that had a lot of hidden gems, but there was so much weird stuff around it that people never really dug into it.
Dude, I was all over that store every week because the virtual console actually.
Well, apparently you missed out on a bunch of new games.
Yeah, like I bought like probably a couple WiiWare games, but like I was over it. Like, dude, I was. I used to like follow. That site game facts, game FAQs, whatever, like I would like be like load, like hitting refresh to see what the new fucking the new virtual console games were each week. But WiiWare I didn't pay quite as much attention to. Like I had like, you know, World of Goo and a couple other things.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of hidden gems, and most of them I think eventually got ported to the Wii U. Or they got, you know, ported elsewhere. But there are a handful of titles that just kind of, I mean, for now, it's a gone to history because the WiiWare shop is down.
Yeah. Yep, it sucks.
Yeah, it's like there are ways, I guess, to play Adventure Rebirth. I have not been able to figure out how to do it yet. like, by emulation and stuff, but...
I mean, I imagine you can also just mod your Wii, which is super easy to do.
Yeah, probably. There was also a weird reveal of the new PlayStation.
which apparently only occurred because they sent out the dev kits. Like, oh shit, this is going to get leaked.
Right.
Which, I mean, is a smart play, and I am both happy that they did it this way, because Sony is one of those companies that would really sit on stage for half an hour explaining this all to you, and I can still see them doing that, but at least now we got all the stuff I don't understand out of the way, and I just want to see the games.
What?
But it's not a smart play. It's stupid. They knew they were sending out the dev kits. God damn it, have an announcement ready instead of being like, we better make one up.
Yeah, it was like, it does seem a little weird that this is how, like, you get your stuff out there, is through a wired interview that seemed very, like, half-assed, but it's, I don't know, at least it's out there, at least they weren't like, oh, we're going to be quiet, and like, we'll just let rumors and speculation go. There is, like, I guess, at least official response to what's happening, and I am interested though, Earl, what didn't you understand?
Most of it. I understand like 8K and stuff like that, but people started talking about like ray tracing, and I'm just like, my eyes started crossing over. Like, I assume it all means like, oh, it's gonna play games prettier.
Yeah.
But like, it's one of those things that like, it's an announcement that's only going to interest a handful of people without any actual tangible footage.
Yeah, especially like unless you know what ray tracing does, and it just sounds like, oh, that sounds fancy. I bet that's cool.
Yeah, I'm old enough to, like, to me, ray tracing sounds like batch processing.
Like, what was like the Skyrim remaster was like? Volumetric god rays.
Yeah, we've had, you know, geometric fog. You get all these buzzwords every generation that people latch onto that ultimately, I mean, again, it makes the game better, I'm sure, but it's like stuff that I don't
care about. I'm sure there's something cool there, but yeah, whatever.
Right, like if you saw something using ray tracing and then saw something without ray tracing,
notice it.
Hey,
I see 16-bit games all the time that I find striking, like, to look at, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the other thing, is like, because at some point, like, 8K sounds great on paper. 8K, no. I mean, okay, let's be honest.
8K, I guess, is worthless unless you have a 100-plus-inch screen.
And it's not, like, to be fair, we're not even at the point where people are really eagerly adapting 4K.
I honestly struggle. Like, Yeah, some of the stuff I own on 4K Blu-ray looks amazing. It looks amazing, okay? But
some of it's
hard to tell the difference.
It's if you showed it to me, if you told me, oh, it was actually just a regular Blu-ray, I'd be like, okay, I guess it is. I don't know, dude. It looks great. It all looks great already.
There are some.
Behind it. It's great.
The thing with 4K and the thing that I mean from what I understand is that 4K in itself, I mean 4K is a high resolution, yes, we get that. But the thing that gets bundled with it that people like they just kind of say 4K or Ultra HD is HDR, and that tends to be what makes things look better in 4K there are 4K movies that are just 4K its resolution. And then there are movies that are like HDR enhanced, so like the colors pop and stuff like that. Problem with that though is like, I mean, at least on my TV, is that I have to set it up every time because like what?
Just turn it on. Yeah, it's so weird. It should be like automatic. That should be how it is. Like,
that's and it's weird because it works for video games. Like if I have an HDR game and an HDR enhanced game on my PS4 or my Xbox One S, like it will automatic. Like The Division does that.
Yeah.
Well, I could be showing my ignorance here. Like, I am slightly interested in some of this stuff, but I don't know at all. I believe that HDR, there's no set standard for it. So yes.
You just say it's HDR?
Well, it's not that they say it's HDR. There are different versions of HDR.
Yes, because I mean, I could be wrong on how it works, but it's a lighting source. It stands for high dynamic range, yes. So it's a way that colors pop against other colors and stuff like that. And the fact is, movies are just made differently, where not everything's gonna have that same. Like, what movie did I watch in 4K? That I watched The Meg, I think, and that movie, you know, they're out on the water most of it. It's bright as sunny, and it was just very, very difficult because like half the movie, I'm just adjusting the color because the water looks off, the sky looks different, if that water looks too green, and the thing is, it's hard to like fix it because you don't necessarily have a comparison,
right? You're not like, this is what water should look like.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, even with 1080p HD, there's still a lot of people who don't adapt it in the same way. Like, we just got studies, 2 weeks ago, that 61% of movie purchases are still DVDs.
That's insane, because, like...
For most people, it's good enough.
I'd be saying, like... I don't really see DVDs anymore. Like, it's mostly really? Blu-ray.
Really? Yeah. Do you go to Walmart? Because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
There are
DVDs in, like, the fucking bin.
But the bin's everything. The bin's
but then there's like also $5. A Blu-ray bin. There's also a Blu-ray bin where if you bought a fucking player in the last fucking decade, then you fucking get them from the Blu-ray bin. That's $8.
But you see, the problem is, and I assume there's a lot of issues with it, but I assume the problem is you can pay a DVD on a DVD player, a Blu-ray player. You can't pay a Blu-ray on a DVD player. And I assume that there was some parent somewhere who bought a Blu-ray and they couldn't get it to work on a DVD and they said it was broken or busted or something like that. And they just, I mean, it sounds funny, but that's the stuff that happened.
Yeah, accurate, yeah.
Like, I have my mother, but she drives me nuts because whenever she watches something on TV, she will always do it so it fills the entire screen because she hates any back bars. So she doesn't like anything like widescreen, and it drives me up the wall because I'm like, you're just stretching the image.
Making it look worse. Stop.
Yeah, but it fills the screen. So
and all the people are lopsided. What the hell's going on?
So yeah, there are people who that, you know, to them. Like, you know, everybody always talks about like HD and stuff like that. The reason HD took off wasn't because of the higher resolution. It was because they made the smaller TVs. And you can get rid of those giant tube TVs that sat in the living room and took up so much space.
Yep.
You can mount them on walls and stuff like that. And they've tried for the past decade to reinvent that. They did we had the curved TVs for a bit.
Yeah.
3D TVs they tried to do.
Yep, that didn't click.
They tried to make them thinner. Like, there are some that, some as thin as a penny or something like that. I don't think that ever really took off.
The TVs, they are getting it down so that you don't really need a bezel on things. And
But
I mean, I do love how I can buy a new TV and I could like just carry it easily into the house and set it up. Like it's amazing, you know. Like,
yeah, before but, if you bought a 65-inch TV, like you needed a damn forklift to get into your house before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could easily, like the last one I just bought, you know, like a 60-inch TV, I carried it myself into the house and just set it up. Like, it was like no problem. It was like 2 seconds. It was just like setting it up. Like, but yeah, like, how do you innovate from here? Like, and again, like, the 8K, it's like, that's there's no point. There's no point in doing that. Like, 4K is about as good as it's going to get. Like, 8K is, at least that's how I understand it. You need a 100-plus-inch screen to appreciate 8K at all. So what is the fucking point? No one's going to have that.
There's going to be, like, you know, there's going to be, like, five people who are going to have an 8K TV because they buy this, you know, state-of-the-art stuff. And it's going to be the same song and dance that we had with the Xbox One, the Xbox 360, PS3, the Xbox One, and PS4. It's like, okay, you know, now that we have 8K, you need to focus on getting 8K and 60 frames per second. And then when most games are on 8K and 60 frames per second, they're going to complain about it not being powerful enough, because that happened with the Xbox One, I mean, the Xbox 360 and PS3, where everything was in 1080p and 60 frames per second. And then everything was in 4K and 60 frames per second. At some point, you're going to realize, like, it's not about what resolution or power.
Yeah.
Developers are going to use that power to make pretty games. That doesn't mean they're going to, like, use it for a steadier frame rate.
Meanwhile, Nintendo is over here just going, we're making fun games. Right. Like, you know, like, it doesn't, none of that should.
1080p looks cool, right? Like, it's like, if you have an art style that is
1080p looks amazing.
It can, it can trump that stuff, so.
And just, you know, just as a quick look on Amazon, you can get a 8K TV for about $5,000.
Oh, cool.
And to Jeff's point, that's only 65 inches?
Yeah, so at least, from what I've heard, like, that's, as I understand it, it has to be a huge screen for you to see any sort of difference with 8K.
Well, I mean, it's that, and it's also distance, because you're not going to notice a difference if you're sitting right underneath the screen. So you have to have a space, essentially a house. A
movie theater.
Yeah. We can set up a 100-inch screen and sit far enough away from it to actually notice a difference.
I guess, bring on 8K, you know, movie theaters. Cool. Like, yeah,
and they have them. Like, they have 8K screens now in theaters, and that shit looks amazing, but it's not necessary for the home. Like, my son's playing Fortnite on my 1080p TV, but if he comes down and sits in front of my 4K TV at the same distance, he ain't gonna notice shit, because his nose is already up on the television. Like,
yeah. And that's gonna be, and that's another thing. I mean, I had the same stance last generation and the generation before that, and it's like, you know, the biggest games of the past decade or so, Minecraft, Fortnite, even Call of Duty, they're not what you would call technical wizards, as far as, like, they're not like high frame rate, high resolution games. I wouldn't even say they're necessary all year, because, I mean, Call of Duty has gotten better, but even Call of Duty wasn't HD until this generation. But they do well, and people don't care. So it's the vocal gamers who are on, you know, forums on Twitter, on Facebook, who make it a big deal. And the rest of the world doesn't care, so Sony's catering to them, which makes sense to gain early momentum. But, like, they announced it, and really, I don't hear any talk about it now, because what can you talk about? Like, Sony announced the PlayStation 5. Who didn't see that coming? Microsoft's working on a new system. Nintendo's working on a new system.
Yeah. Just put it out there. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be better. It's going to be faster.
Yeah. And they box themselves in, though, because now you can't speculate anymore. Like, they can give it a power boost or something like that, but it's, like, out there now. So it's like, okay, we got this. Now, when are we going to see games? When is it out? It's not out this year. So you've given us some numbers and nothing else.
It's a speculation on, like, I'm probably not going to see anything that's going to be playable on it until this time next year.
Do you guys think that, like, next fall will be new systems for basically at least Microsoft and Sony?
I mean, I think that was always the expectation.
Right, yeah. I think next year is it.
But I'm also, like, this gen, I was very much on board with fuck, day one, I want this shit. And then it really took, what, until March before we got anything on the Xbox worth playing. And it was even longer for the PlayStation. Like, I don't know if I'm in day one with this shit. Maybe, maybe for one of the systems.
But... It kind of depends for me. Like, all right, what if, like, Halo 6 is just, like, it's for everything. But it's a launch game from the new Xbox. But, like, Xbox One X, I can't imagine it should get much better than that. So it's like, if I can play Halo 6 on that, I'll just play it on that. I'll give a shit.
Well, I think to kind of get to that point, Sony, in not so many words, pretty much confirmed that with the PlayStation 4 and 5, that there are going to be a lot of games that kind of cross-gen.
Yeah.
Because, like, dude, like, with the PlayStation Pro and Xbox One X, like, come on, dude. Like, how, like... Again, there's got to be a ceiling for how amazing things can look and run and everything.
Well,
at some point, it just becomes about how much storage and stuff you could have. Like,
well, I know, processors can always get better. Yeah. They can do more. Like, maybe visually they don't pop as
there's,
much.
There's some point, yeah. There's on a peak. Screen
and they'll, like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, wanted to get to Jeff's point that he kind of mentioned really quickly. That was another thing that came out, is that they're using solid-state drives, which they hoped that would absolve the old times in games, which would be awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome.
That would be great. But to the other point, though, yeah, I don't necessarily, there's going to get to a point where, like, it's diminishing returns, but I do think you're always going to have better and better. I think the problem is, and this is something that I think you mentioned in the notes for today's show, is that there's a human cost to that. And at some point, that's not sustainable. I think we've noted on this show several times, it's not sustainable now.
Yeah, the development, yeah, Pete said we should talk about the work conditions at NetherRealm and
Epic.
Yeah. As they work all their employees to death.
Yeah, and it's like these games are getting more and more complex, and like, you know, they're still going to want 2-3 year turnaround, but
might not be possible anymore.
Yeah,
like, literally have employees that still want to work for you.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's been able to corroborate this rumor, but really that was the rumor from NetherRealm, is that they worked somebody to death.
Jesus. That rumor,
that sounds appropriate. I mean, people deserve to work to death, I guess.
But yeah, part of it is the person who originally tweeted it. He kept up his tweet storm, but he deleted that tweet. And I think part of it is really hard to cut. Like, you can speculate, but it's really hard. Unless he died at his computer, like, it's hard to say, like, it was the reason that he. It could be a mitigating factor.
It could be like all the notches in me too.
Yeah,
most likely.
But yeah, there were like two or three stories that came out about NetherRealm's games this week, which painted a very, very, very grim picture of how they treat and value their employees, or I guess non-employees, temps. That basically the expectation was around, you know, Injustice and Mortal Kombat, that you would go into crunch from like December of that year, the previous year, to the April release date or May release date of those games. And the guy was talking about, like, how the assumption was that you'd work 80-hour work weeks. You'd not take time off because then you're letting down the team. He said in the 2 years he was there, he did two things for himself. One of them was going to his friend's wedding. But he went to the wedding after working an 8-hour shift. And I forget what the other one was. It was to attend the funeral or something like that. And it was frowned upon.
Yeah.
And then there was another story about, essentially, they put their temps into a hard cage. Not an actual hard cage. But they just kind of all squished them in like a back room. And just kind of weed them out, and yeah, they just work to the bone. You know, and this is not uncommon. We've heard stories like this before, where they kind of work, you know, they give them contracts for 9 months, let them go for 3 months, and then bring them back, because that way you can get around state laws about full-time employment.
Right.
Which is really messed up. And they get the people back by dangling carrots like, oh, you know, like, maybe after this contract we'll be able to bring you on full-time or something like that.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
Sounds like a great place to work.
Yeah.
This is how you get, like, industries denuded of talent, right? You're like, if you're a sane person and you're good at what you do, you would never work in the game industry after reading this story. Or you would work for yourself. That's it. Those are your options.
Oh, there you go. How would I do that to myself? I think a lot of times, though, like, a lot of the culture of this doesn't seem to recognize that, like, I don't know, man. Like, this shit applies to, like, a lot of industries. Like, it's kind of, like, capitalism writ large. Like,
it is, like, but, it is, man. And I think, and I think what you'll see with a lot of these cases, and you've heard similar stories on Kotaku and Polygon, is that the people they tend to get are people fresh out of college who want to get that experience, who want to make a name for themselves. And, you know, like, for the most part, a lot of the industry is male-driven because there's an expectation that, you know, not that guys work harder than females, but that guys are willing to put their lives on hold for their job. So you hear a lot of people who are fresh out of college. I think NetherRealms is probably one of the few, if not the only, major video game studio in Chicago.
Midway so, or NetherRealm?
Yeah.
Either or, yeah.
But I mean, Midway was NetherRealm. Oh, NetherRealm was Midway. Yeah. So yeah, and it's like, so if you're in that area, like, what else are you going to do? You're going to work for Midway. You're going to work for NetherRealm, gain experience, and hope for the best, and you end up in this shitty situation. And it sucks because their games are so great, but it's like, how can you support that?
Yeah. And then, like, Fortnite has evidently been driving for, a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Nonstop crunch.
The only thing I have, like, okay, like I already said, it's like, yeah, it's bad, but, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's good at all. I'm just saying it's just, like, that's pretty indicative of how a lot of, you know, especially big corporations are run.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm saying it's bad for the record.
I personally try not to treat my employees that way, but there are sometimes like mandates that come down like, hey, there's no vacations for these next 3 months. And like, we expect everyone to be on board and doing as much as they can during this time so we can meet budget. Like,
sometimes it's just crunch. Sometimes you can't avoid it. It's like it's.
There's ways to make it right.
There are, and like you just can't expect a constant crunch. I think a lot of these game companies expect that.
Right.
Yeah, like it's not. It's, you know, like, for instance, at work, we have a big event coming up in a month's time. And I know that like, the 2 weeks leading up to that will be a very hectic, you know, all hands on deck, probably some late nights for people. And that's, you know, that's fine. It's a, you know, two and a half weeks. We've known about, you know, it's once a year, so everybody kind of knows what's involved. But that's it. It's not like they expect us to do this the entire year. Like, after that, the summer's pretty easy. It's relaxed. Most people are going on vacation and stuff like that. But yeah, like, if there's an expectation that, like, oh, it's going to happen once in a while, sure. Like, you know, end of the year is always big for a lot of companies because you got to get these numbers in, you got to get the taxes done, whatever. But yeah, the game industry seems to owe you run on crunch. It's like, no, I mean, we don't often hear stories that, oh yeah, we worked 40 hours, the game was smooth, we knew exactly what we were doing from start to finish. Piece of cake.
Right.
Yep.
Though I do find it funny, and I don't, is that Respawn got some positive press today for simply saying that we're going to have a show or a DLC because we don't want to overwork our employees.
Yeah, they're sticking to a seasonal update schedule instead of like trying to match Fortnite's weekly pace, which will hopefully be better for the sanity of their employees. Like, And everything coming out of Respawn sounds like smart. Like the Vince Zampella seems to really know his shit.
And I mean, I assume it's probably working for Activision. He kind of knows what environments aren't conducive to creativity.
Yeah, especially like, I mean, like even before that, like he escaped EA once and then went and worked for Activision, and then he escaped them kind of like, you know, he's now back under EA, but he seems to have more
autonomy, control, yeah,
like over how things are handled. So, was there any other news pieces we were missing?
Well, they announced the Puyo Puyo Champions, which is a Puyo Puyo esports title. That's coming out later this year.
It's like what? Everything?
I think it's just another version of Puyo Puyo. I mean, we already have Puyo Puyo Tetris. I don't know what else we need.
Is it?
I know. I love it.
The Switch and Xbox and
PS4. Yeah.
Everything. Yep. I mean, I like, you know,
Puyo. I like Puyo.
They're fun. But yeah, I do already have one with Puyo Puyo Tetris. So.
How many times have you bought Tetris, Chris? A million times.
Yeah, like what, in the last year?
Exactly.
So. Yeah, every time.
I'll buy it again.
You bring new Tetris out. Like,
I actually, that's the thing, is like Puyo Puyo, I can't say it. Puyo Puyo Tetris introduced me to Puyo Puyo, and I like
it. Really?
It's basically
that introduced you to it.
Yeah,
interesting.
Not Mr. B Machine.
Well, like it is Mr. Me. It's the same game. I played Mr.
Yeah, the Mean Bean Machine.
Same Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. Yeah.
And Mean Bean Machine, awesome game. Also, an amazing boss level in Sonic Mania. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, this isn't news. It's funny, but also really messed up. I guess there was a Smash Brothers tournament this weekend, Mayay, and I think Hungrybox is his name, won.
He's and like the most dominant player in Smash, right? Like, he's consistently been winning.
Yeah. And I guess somebody took offense to that because he's been dominating the scene for so long. So they threw crabs at him after the game. I don't get it.
Yeah, like where does one get?
Well, I guess it was Marion, then they have a bunch of crabs nearby.
Oh yeah.
They're everywhere.
But it's weird that like but that I mean really that meant that you bought a crab, bought it into a gym or wherever they were holding it. Sat with it the entire duration of the tournament in hopes that he won to throw it at him?
Weird. That's some dedication, though. Like, I hate this guy so much, and he's probably going to win, so I'm going to buy a crab and throw it at him.
Yeah.
Fighting game fans are really fucking weird.
They are so messed up.
Oh. But I mean, that guy is big enough that there are people that are throwing crabs at him. So,
I wish I was important enough to get crabs thrown at me.
One day, Tony. One day.
I want to be crab back.
All right. Well, what have you guys been playing? this actually over the last 2 weeks, I guess. I mean, I guess we could jump right into what Jeff's been playing because we just spent a bunch of time talking about
it. It's a great transition.
Yeah, I feel awkward now.
So this game that you're supporting, Jeff, somebody may have actually died making it. How does that make you feel?
Fatality. I don't know. I mean, that sucks.
Right. Well, there we go. Mortal Kombat 11 sucks, and
no, the game is good. I'm just saying that sucks.
Yeah,
not as bad as Ronda Rousey's voice acting.
Ooh, ouch! Yeah, that's pathetic.
I've seen some clips.
Maybe they should have made her work some overtime to get that.
What's wrong? What's wrong with her? Like, she just
sucks. She can't act. That's all it is.
But it's like she couldn't. All right, she was. MMA fighter who couldn't MMA.
And no, she was really good at MMA until other people.
Was she?
Well. She was dominant for. Like for quite a while, and then she lost two straight matches.
Yeah, I think the rest of the sport caught up with her.
All right. All right, explain something to me. Like, can you not just like lose a couple of matches and make a comeback? Like, I don't understand. Like,
well, no, that's a different story. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what she's not.
Like, she lost, and then it's like her career is over.
This career is over. It's like the thing for her was like she was great or good at MMA, but she also was incredibly attractive and had lots of other opportunities at that point.
Yeah,
it's like I could continue with the MMA, or I could go to other things. They're not going to mess up my pretty face and try those things.
Okay. All right. I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Like she made a calculated decision that like it's not worth staying in a sport where basically you're going to get your ass kicked. Like,
okay. I thought it did have more to do with the fact that, like, because that defeat was pretty spectacular and big. Like, that's what
sure,
I remember.
Both of the fights that she lost were pretty lopsided. Somebody looked at her and went, "This is her weakness," and just pounded on it. And
yeah, it happens like so many sports. Once they find something, you're fucked.
Yeah,
I mean it's kind of what happened with Connor as well.
She is a So, like, in the wrestling world, is she, like, not liked then? Like she's just kind of like, yeah.
She was liked, and then she wasn't liked. And I think that that kind of feeds into her MMA thing where she after losing two fights. Is she doesn't really do well with adversity, which is odd to say for an MMA fighter who's overcome a lot.
Right.
But anytime, like, the audience isn't with her, she kind of bails. Because it happened once she lost the two fights and she didn't have some sticker on her. And the same thing kind of happened with her at wrestling where the fans started to turn against her. And, I mean, to their credit, they went with that and they used that to her advantage near the end. And I think that works for her. I think she has a natural intensity about her that is much better in her actions than it is in her acting. Because you folks, you have to deal with her. You have to listen to her. But we had to watch her on wrestling, and she makes it sick. Her angry face is really goofy.
Yeah, she can be an awkward looking woman at times.
Well, her aside, I don't know. I really love Mortal Kombat. Like, it's great. Like,
you all should. There's so much blood always in it.
All of these, like the kind of modern reboot of the series from like 9 on have been really great, you know? And this was a lot of fun. I don't know, like,
are you going to play more of it?
Yeah. I played through the story mode, which is like, you know, it's, I'd say it's around roughly like 50 fights long, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say 50 hours.
No.
Like, that's long. Jesus.
No, but like, I don't see anyone like break it down that way, but like I looked at the number myself and I'm like, it's somewhere around 50. It's about like 50 fights long, but yeah. Broken up by like
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, but broken up by like, yeah, big cutscenes. Like, there's like cutscenes. And again, I didn't really pay attention. It seemed like a lot of fun. It seemed really goofy and fun, but like some of the cutscenes were like literally like 10 minutes plus long, like really long.
Yeah, I mean it's
basically like a TV show,
animated movie.
Yeah, and it, but like again, because like I don't care and I just don't give a fuck. I would half pay attention, and some of it was fun, like because there is like it's like there's like a time travel dimension to this where it's like. Older Johnny Cage with younger Johnny Cage and that shit. Like, that's fun. It's fun. Like, the thing has a whole, like, fun, goofy vibe to it. Just, like, a great fighting system. I don't know, man. I could go deep on this, but, like, yeah. you know, if you've liked the last two, you're going to love this. It's really great.
Can you now easily do fatalities because of the new improved tutorial system?
I think it's pretty much probably the same as it's been for the last couple. Like, you could, like, purchase easy fatalities. So, it's like tokens, basically, where you just gotta hit, like, right trigger plus A or B.
Right. And then can you do the moves based, like, can you do the actual moves now, Jeff?
Without me personally?
Yes, you.
Yes, you.
I've done them in practice mode a ton of times, but...
So, no. That's what that...
Well, practice mode is like, it's the same thing. You have to do it, but it's like,
sure.
Yeah.
Do you get the whole animation if you do it in practice mode?
Yeah. So it's like, it's fun. Like, go check out. Yeah.
Okay. Because I can't do them. I'm terrible.
It's like, there feels like there's pressure at the last second. You're like, finish them. And you're like, oh, fuck.
I'm trying to remember like the 12, 27 combinations to do it.
That's why it's so awesome to have those tokens built up, because it's like, and it's just like the modern Mortal Kombat series has really kind of turned me around on how I feel about fighting games, because I kind of love these games, you know. It's like slowly grown on me. Like, I've slowly like admitted I really like love the like 9, 10, 11, right? And some of it is, it's like you just buy coins, and then when you get to finish them, you fucking hit trigger plus A, and that's, you know, you fucking do it. It
does something cool.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, and just like the fighting, like in general, just feels like it's the one fighting series I've ever gotten into, and it feels just better than ever here. Just little tweaks to it. I don't know, man. I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna be playing it for a little bit longer, like going through like the towers and shit outside of the story mode.
Okay. It sounds fun. I still haven't played all the way through Injustice 2, so I'll probably play that beforehand.
You guys all like played like 10, probably, right? Right?
I played 10 through Game Pass.
Yeah.
Tony, yeah. Earl?
I have not played 9.
I have not paid 9 or 10. I don't. The last one I paid is 5.
Holy shit.
I paid MK versus DC. I guess that counts.
Yeah, that was technically
8. Yeah, that's kind of like modern era. It's like how they feel, right? It really.
Yeah, I paid Injustice games because DC.
That's the same style.
Yeah.
That's
how it is.
Presentation.
So it's really cool. Like the story mode is like fun to play through because it's like, you're like watching this action movie and it like seamlessly transitions into a 2D fight. You know, it's like,
I hate that it has an actual story mode out of fighting games. Yeah. Just kind of having the gauntlet. And their production values are amazing too.
I know, like the games look amazing. Like,
yeah. Before we establish why now, but
yeah, I know. But good job, guys. It's really good. Like, I have never thought of myself as a fighting game fan, but I started to realize, like, at the very least, I like these NetherRealm games. They're great. Treat your workers better, I guess. But
treat your workers better, but continue.
But
give me more of these things.
Give me more. Mortal Kombat 11 is awesome. It's really good. Like, there are things about it. I'm sure you guys heard like some of the, I don't know, some controversies about it, but
the DLC,
with every game that comes out now, progression. Where it's like the unlock shit is kind of fucked because they're trying to make too much money and then they have to adjust it basically.
$6,460 something specifically.
Yeah, I guess that's like if you tried to buy everything that you could buy in the game, but like,
I thought that was a goofy headline.
Part of it was just, I guess, kind of like the shittiness of the crypt too, where it was just like you go in there and waste all your money and just get garbage. And they kind of had some of an explanation for that, which was like in the old games it was like fixed places where everything was, so people would like just avoid, like, you know, oh, you go to these chests and buy this. I don't know. I guess they're gonna fix it and hook us up with a bunch of money. So I don't know. That shit is like, it's like annoying and it sucks. But like the core gameplay is awesome. Like it's so good. You know. I say it as a person that was like never thought of myself as like a fighting game fan, but Mortal Kombat is just fucking great. I think it's more for me. I just never figured out how to play Street Fighter. I like, never could figure out how to play Street Fighter. I was like, I guess I just don't like fighting games.
I can do a fireball every once in a while.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, it's just that I never got the feel of that series, but like Mortal Kombat, I always gotten and I enjoy. And when I think about it, I'm like, well, I love Smash Brothers. Soul Calibur, I think, is really fun. When I've played it, Tekken is pretty fun. It's like, maybe I just don't like Street Fighter. And I thought I don't like fighting games because of that. Because that's like one of the big. So I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but like, I really love these new Mortal Kombats. They're great, they're so much fun.
I like Street Fighter because it's like the fighting game franchise. Like you think fighting, but yeah, I feel like
I just
it's
can't
very,
get a handle on it.
I can't. I mean, I guess you're supposed to play with an arcade stick. I don't want to invest in an arcade stick because I've never been good at the games. I can never get around the quarter circle, half circle.
Yeah.
So I prefer like Mortal Kombat because it's directional. I prefer stuff like Tekken and Soul Calibur because it's 3D, so you move around with the analog stick, and that makes sense to me. So yeah, like Street Fighter, I will always try because it's Street Fighter. But yes, I think there are much, much more accessible fighting games.
Okay, I'm not crazy, man. Thank you.
Well, you are crazy, just not for that reason.
I'm right on this one topic.
That's right. I support you.
I did not play anything new. I did finish The Blob. That was it's a fun, cute platforming game. I also replayed through Captain Toad.
I did as well.
The DLC.
And I did the DLC, which is very good. That game's just a delight. It's a blast to play. I did not run into it. Like, I remember the first time I played it on the Wii U, like, there were some, like, I wasn't really grabbing all the gems. And so there were some that, like, you know, you get to later levels and it's like, oh, you need X amount of gems to move on. This time, like, I easily was getting them pretty much like the first go round.
I remember, like, I got, like, stuck somewhere the first time. And I think I may have not finished it. But, like, when I played it on the Switch, I just, like, I was like, I don't know where I got stuck at. Like, it seems fine to me. Like, progression totally made sense.
There's a couple ones that, like, I had to play a couple times to get all of them because they become a little challenging. But for the most part, it's just a pretty breezy game.
Yeah.
It's fun. And then I guess we could talk about Dangerous Driving, but I'll save that for one.
Yeah.
I also tried out Snake Pass, which is on Game Pass.
It's kind of a weird game.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
It's kind of.
I paid full price for that too. I think I paid $20 or whatever the fuck it was.
I'm glad I didn't pay for it because I think I would be angry at it.
I never got far into it at all. I didn't like the game. It just feels weird. You're like wrapping around posts and shit. Like,
it's billed as like, oh, it's like a, you know, Banjo Kazooie or a ukulele type game, like a 3D platformer. Except you're not doing any jumping. You're a fucking snake, and the way you move around the world is by slithering and wrapping yourself around posts. And so that's where the actual platforming comes in, but. I don't know, the controls just seemed a little too finicky. I can never kind of position myself just right.
As long as, like, you have to, like, turn your head and then press forward. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I remember it. Like,
I was able to get through, like, the first world, and then I started on the second one, and I was like, I'm just not having fun. So yeah. I didn't pay for this, and I'm not going to play anymore. But yeah, Dangerous Driving. I don't know if we talked about that, Jeff. I think it might have come out.
I don't think so.
Between that weird period where we took off last week, but yeah, it's a Burnout 3 clone.
I think I might have mentioned it a little bit, but yes, it's like a shell of a game, kind of.
Yeah. It's basically like it has a bunch of events that are very similar to Burnout, including having the same name in some cases. Like takedown races are called road rages, which is what they are in Burnout. I don't know. So it was fine for most of the game. It's buggy. It's very buggy. It's very devoid of life, I think. Like, there's not a lot going on.
It feels like an unfinished game. Like, yeah. It's like the core of what's there is, like, very good and very, like, the Burnout that you know and love and remember. Like, it feels like Burnout 3 to me, at least anyways.
Yeah,
I don't know if you might differ.
For the most part, like, cars are fast, like...
But it's like, that's like the shell, but around that is, like... There's not like the final pinnings of what makes an actual retail release of a game. Like
Well, the other thing,
there's no soundtrack. Like,
there's no soundtrack. It's really weird. And if you have Spotify Premium, like you can like
that's their solution. That. Okay, but I don't have that.
Right. Like there should have been some sort. Like you didn't need a licensed soundtrack. But you should have had something for the like 7 tracks that are in the race in the game. Like each track should have had some generic soundtrack, like some generic like instrumental, you know, rocky type or funky type like music behind it.
Something butt rock,
right? Something like that. Because like if you don't have the Spotify thing, you're literally just playing with engine noises.
And I do have to step away for 1 second, but I did want to say, like, I think you and I did not agree with this, but, like, I think the tracks are way too long. The race is, like, sometimes, like, lasts, like, 6-7 minutes, it feels like.
Yeah.
Go ahead and respond, and I'll be right back, though.
So yeah, I mean, some of the races are 6-7 minutes. I think Jeff should go back and replay Burnout 3. Because some of those races are also 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes long. It depends on which course you're racing. It happens in this. Some of the races do get long. And that's just how racing games go, though, is like early races are like, oh, they're going to be quick, you know, minute-long tracks, like minute-long laps. And as you get, you know, harder races, the laps become longer, the races become longer. I think maybe Jeff might be misremembering some stuff, but, I ran into like a really nasty, I've run into all the nasty bugs that this game has. Jeff, not so much, but, I ran into an escalating bug where, the AI would get progressively harder. To the point where if I got a lead and crashed every AI character I was racing against would warp a minute ahead of me. And I actually caught it in one instance where I crashed. I saw the two people that were behind me pass me, which was fine. Like they were pretty close. But somehow I'm now in fifth place. And then I'm driving along and then instantly you see this like red blur just go by. And when I kind of slowed it down a little bit, it was a car moving at supersonic speed, which is evidently a bug that they said is rare, but I was lucky enough to get it. And it has made the game impossible to finish because the race I'm on, if I crash, like I'm instantly a minute behind. And you can't gain any time.
Well, don't crash, obviously.
Right.
That seems logical to me.
Yes, except like the game is built around crashing. It's one of the features of the game, like bumping into stuff and having your car explode and cool things. That's another bug that I've run into is when you take somebody down in the game, it is supposed to kind of freeze time so that you get to like watch the takedown happen. Except the only thing that is really stopping is the car you're hitting and you. Everything else is continuing to move at the same speed of the game. So it actually is
hurt you.
You're like, I don't want to take out any cars.
Exactly.
It looks cool except I'm moving the race now.
Yeah. Let's see. Another bug that I ran into was there are certain parts on a map where if you go into shadow and you come up on where the sun is no longer kind of creating a shadow, your car will hit that and stop. Like it's like the sun has created a wall.
What?
And it completely kills your engine.
This is on Xbox?
Yeah, yeah. Like wow. I should I have a I have a 6 minute clip video of like all the bugs I've run into.
Damn.
And those are just like these are ones like that have happened over and over again. I did not put them all in there. It's like, all right, this one is particularly egregious. There was another one where I got stuck in a crash loop where so I was coming around, make a right hand turn, but the signage was a little off, so I thought I had to make a left. So I ended up crashing because you can't run into a wall. And where it would place me when it respawned me was directly in the path of the wall again.
Oh, God.
But it starts you rolling a little bit. So, of course, yeah. Like, I didn't have control, and it would crash me into the wall again until it actually started spawning me, instantly crashing in the air. My car was just spinning nonstop. these are all bugs that Three Fields has said that they have identified and are working on. Hopefully that patch will be out by Monday. They said the 29th is what they were aiming for, so maybe I'll be able to finish that game.
Regardless of this, though, I seem to recall like you were like in the last tier of cars, weren't you?
I was, and I've actually gotten to a point where I can't progress because the AI is broken. So
I'm impressed you got that far. I gave up way before you. I mean, I give up. I will go back to it, but right. I think I just beat the coupe mode, which is like the second mm-hmm. tier, you know. It's exhausting. It's very like, dude. In my opinion, the races are just way too long. Like to go 6 minutes and then you could fuck up and lose it in the last 15 seconds don't do it that way. It's not right. Like
I don't know if that's the same with Revenge. I know it was the one you just bought on Xbox, but I do remember that happening consistently in like 3 and
it's racing games in general, but usually they're not like. Come on, man. 6.5 minutes to run. Yeah. Usually a Mario Kart race is like 3 minutes.
Dude, well, that, you know, if you're comparing it to like, that's where the difference is. Go back and like pop in Burnout 3 on the PlayStation.
Yeah. I guess I'll see when I play Revenge.
Like, yeah. Like there are races that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes long,
but
like, and they're infuriating when you crash and like you're in first or second place and all of a sudden like you lose and you don't even place. You can't even advance at that point. But
yes. But like, all right. Here's the only thing I will say, like before we move on from this, though, is like I did play a little bit of Revenge when I bought it on the spring sale, and like you know, this is a very early, like this is like Xbox to Xbox 360 game, like cross generation game.
Yes,
and it felt more polished than
Dangerous Driving, for sure.
So
saying
a lot.
The guy from the guy from Three Fields, he actually put out some numbers on, like the T team size that they had from like Burnout 3 and Revenge and Burnout Paradise. And I think like Burnout 3 was made with like 40 people.
Okay, wow.
Like whatever was next was made with like 70. And I think Burnout Paradise was made with a team of over 100 people.
Yeah.
They made Dangerous Driving with 7 people in 7 months.
Whoa.
Which is impressive, but it's also like
it's indicative. It's
still buggy as shit, and it's like one of the complaints against them is that they kind of release stuff in a half-assed way. And it's like not
very finished. Yes, man.
It very much feels like a studio that is, we got to get this out because if we don't, we're gonna have to shut our doors. So that's a shame because I think that they have a good core there. It's just that
there's something, like it feels like classic Burnout. It's like
it does. It's just like classic Burnout in like beta form.
Yeah,
like we're playing very, a beta of Burnout 3.
Yes. Thank you. Exactly. And it feels bad paying $30 for that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I would feel a whole lot better if it was $20. And it should have probably included what's it? Danger Zone? Is that the crash mode thing?
Yeah, and I bought that as well. That's $20.
You spent $50.
I paid $50 between these two things, and you laugh. I mean, like they're fun. They're fun. Gameplay out of it, but it's like they're so rough around the edges that they're impossible to recommend. And I do feel bad about actually spending the money on them, honestly. So.
Earl, you play anything this past week?
Picked up Anthem, which was $20 on Newegg.
Price I've been waiting for.
Yeah, that was the price. That was pretty much, I think $30 was my price. $20 was a sweet spot. What can I say about Anthem? I will say that I bought Anthem. I got it on Saturday. We sent out an email asking what we paid, and I completely forgot I paid it. So
that's a good sack.
That's the impression Anthem left with me. You know, there's a lot that's been said about Anthem in the past. I will just say this much: from the bit I played, the thing that stuck out to me the most is that it doesn't actually feel nice to control, which I thought was odd. Like, you know, there's a lot of problems with it, but the fact is the shooting's not that great. And fundamentally, like, if you're a third-person shooter and your shooting controls aren't great, there's not much of a game there for me. there's no real weight to anything. So to just kind of backtrack a bit, I guess, I'm playing as the Interceptor, which is the speed melee character. So out of my combat tends to be more hack and slash, but the fact that I can do that in huge hordes without taking massive damage or really being in danger is also indicative of the fact that the game soup is not really that exciting. And I've only played with one other person, so it's not like I have a full party I'm playing with. And as far as I can tell, I don't really know the massive differences between the classes as far as how they control or move. Like, it seems like the, I forget the tank's name, moves at the roughly the same speed I do.
They move slower. It's way slower.
They do. Okay.
If you actually play as those, you may not notice, like watching the other players play, but they're definitely.
So that the one that kind of looks like the Hulkbuster a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is just kind of an Iron Man ripoff, but
it totally is.
It's like here's all the different Iron Man suits.
I mean, really, that's why I was there. I'm like, I want to be a
right,
and that would be great, but it's like it wants to be Iron Man, but then it stops really short of it.
I'm War Machine.
Like, I still don't know why you can't shoot while you fly.
You can though.
No, you have to stop.
No, you don't.
You can hover.
Yeah.
But you can't fly.
But you want to like actually be flying around.
Yeah.
Loading. Got it.
Like, even to reload your gun, you have to stop in midair to do that. So it's not even, like, you can't do anything while flying. And like flying is awesome, except you overheat all the time.
Yeah, I hate that.
So one thing everybody wants to do, they put a limit on.
Yeah, yeah, and as far as I could tell, and maybe I'm wrong, I was speaking to somebody else that Tony might know. Can you actually increase how long your suit lasts without overheating?
There are some upgrades you can get that will.
Okay.
I haven't gotten.
Because, yeah, like, you know, you could, like, if you fly close to the ground near water, it will cool it off. I like that if you, like, do a deep dive, it also cools it off. But, like, you're not always high enough to do a deep dive.
Right. Like, I can fly so far as long as I'm going down. That's cool.
Yeah. Or if you're flying close to the ground, which, to me, kind of defeats the purpose. Because at that point, I might as well be walking. I also have to say that this is an open world game, or it's supposed to be. It sucks that the world, it's closer to Monster Hunter, I guess, in that there's zones, so you'll go into a certain place and you'll get an old time, which wouldn't be a big deal if the old times in this game weren't awful. And then, like, there's no real connection with, like, your teammate. So, like, I might go into an area. It won't necessarily pull my teammates forward if it's a story mission. So then they'll have to come and go as well. And it takes its sweet time. And then after the mission, like, you don't have an option of just kind of... And again, I could be wrong. Maybe I just didn't get farther in the game. You don't really have an option of hanging around. It's like you finish the mission, you go to a result screen... You either go back to the forge or you go back to the home base.
Right.
And as far as I can tell, both options will take you back to the home base either way.
Oh, and like you want to stay in the world and shoot shit.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like, you know, like in an open world game, I can do more than one mission at a time.
Right.
Like, I don't see why I shouldn't be able to do more than one mission at a time.
Yeah, this seems... It seems more structured, like
It seems like they had a single player campaign mapped out, and they were like, "Oh, we're just gonna attach this multiplayer stuff to it," because it is set up in that get a mission, go into the world, complete that mission, go back, get another mission, go back. I think you can do side missions while you do main missions, but the basic structure is that, and the structure is not that different. I mean. They pretty much introduce you to everything you're going to need in the prologue. You're going to have times where you have to stay in the zone and kill a bunch of enemies. You're going to have time when you have to collect some random stuff around the map and put it into a central point while killing some enemies. And you're going to have a time when you just have to kill some enemies. And that's pretty much the three gameplay loops that I've seen so far.
All right. Yeah. So... $20 worth?
I mean, I'll pray for $20. I will say, I mean, between this and The Division, I'd much rather go back to The Division. Yeah. And I think the other thing I paid the demo of Box Boy plus Box Girl.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you have played that. I'm a fan of
Box Boy before. I've not heard of this one, though.
This is the Switch version that comes out. Well, I guess it should be out now. Okay. I don't even want to say a platformer because it's not really a platformer, but it's a puzzle game with platforming elements to it. And you are Box Boy or Box Girl. And you basically create copies of yourself to solve puzzles. And it varies per stage. I've had stages where you can create up to five. And then there's most of them is like one or two. And you basically use that copy or that box to navigate the levels, either covering spikes or protection from like lasers or, you know, getting in a high ground so you can jump over to the next level and stuff like that. Box Boy, I enjoy Box Boy. I've played the 3DS versions and they're pretty fun. So the reason I checked out this demo was mostly because it had the two-player co-op version, which you can also play single-player as well. And it's like, I don't know if you've played Snipper Clips, and I'm sure other co-op games do this, but you essentially just kind of use the trigger buttons to flip between the characters and kind of get them in positions where you need them to be. The good thing is you can also push forward your other character, so you don't necessarily always have to switch back and forth to make them walk forward. You can just go behind the other one and push them until you get to the point where you need the puzzle and stuff like that. It has a very simple art style. It's mostly black and white. I think some of the characters have I think Box Girl has a pink bow on, and there are other characters who have like distinguishing features. But other than that, it's a black and white game. You're playing as a cube, or I guess a box technically, mm-hmm. or a square, I guess. And that is it. Like, it's black and white and gray. It's like not a ton of colors. It's very simple, straight lines and jagged edges. But it works. It's a ton of fun. They're very relaxing games. They're very kind of fun. I think this one's $20. If it's more than $20, I wouldn't necessarily look into it until it's $20. But you know, they've always come ripe with a ton of content. You know, some great puzzles, some great mechanics that they add in. Like, there's one later on in the demo where you have to. You're controlling both characters and you have to navigate through a laser field, and you basically have to have one character create a bridge so you can walk across, and the other one basically create like a umbrella on top of them and walk underneath the walk around the lasers. And it's a really kind of nifty little setup, and so yeah, it's a fun game.
This sounds pretty cool. Also $10.
Oh, okay, so I'm gonna pick that up before I go on my trip tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I may try that as well. Little puzzle games are neat. Tony, you play anything this past week?
I put lots of that. I'm holding myself back for Imperator, which came out today. So you're gonna hear a lot about that next week.
Okay.
Jeff's gonna be really excited.
I'll sure be semi awake for that one.
I will have that Sony zombie game.
Don't do it. What are you doing?
I mean, I already did it, so it arrives.
I was about to say, it has a name.
Days Gone. I could not remember it. That's the bad.
Does it roll off the tongue?
No.
That's how you're going to feel after you beat it. Like, those were some days gone.
Yeah, I can't wait to play.
Can't get that time back.
I can't wait to play as Deacon St. John, and go to the wedding where my bride says, "I hope you ride me like you ride your motorcycle."
Yeah.
Well, apparently that is a thing.
Like people saying stuff like that at weddings.
Yeah,
I've heard things like this.
Yeah, apparently it's also in a scene from Sons of Anarchy. So, I mean, nobody made fun of it then, so I guess that's
cool. I mean, some people make fun of that.
There's so. Somebody made fun of it. I don't remember that from Anarchy, but...
Yeah, somebody posted a clip of it, because Days Gone pretty much reviewed how... most people would expect. I think it's one of those games that just never looked that interesting. And
it's something like about it, you know, right? Like, what is it? Like,
I enjoy weird zombie shit anyway, but that initial trailer seemed pretty cool with the swarms of zombies, but I
haven't
seen anything since then. And it evidently is not that game, so I can't wait to play this. It's going to be such a mess.
Well, it seems like it's a technically sound game. It's just kind of a generic and not necessarily super great. If it wasn't $60, I'd be tempted to pick it up just because it seems it's a different type of protagonist and environment, even though I think at this point zombies are kind of paid out.
Sure. It's the people you have to be.
I can't believe am I the only one that picked up Mortal Kombat? How am I the only one?
I can't justify like paying $60 for something I know I'm only going to play for 4 hours.
Yeah, you're pretty much right. But yeah,
I cannot justify the the treatment of Netherrealm Realms employees.
Yeah.
Why? It has nothing to do with that I only play Mortal Kombat for.
But yeah, I mean, essentially, it's going to be the same thing with Injustice in that, like, if I want it, it's probably going to be like $20 on the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live around Black Friday.
That's true. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know, like, I did for like, for at least for the 4 hours I played the story, and I probably will play a lot more of it beyond that, but it's super fun.
It's fun, and I think NetherRealms, you know, as much as the work habits are terrible, they've re-upped the game in production for fighting games, yes. Even aside from like the story mode, just like the fact that almost every character interaction has unique openings and
closings. Dialogue and shit.
Yeah. I think that's really awesome, and I think that's something that more things, I know it's a lot of work, but the fact that, because they record multiple ones, so it's not like the same one over and over again. And granted, it's only a handful, but it's still unique.
That's always cool.
I think it's like character specific too, right? So like if you are Johnny Cage and you're fighting Sonya Blade, like they so like if you're Johnny Cage and you're fighting Scorpion, like they might have different ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the game is just really fun. It's like if you have any sort of affinity for Mortal Kombat, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I will play it before the end of the year. All right. Well, Tony has some stuff for next week.
Oh yeah, I do.
I will have Days Gone, Sons of Anarchy meets The Walking Dead. And I'm sure Earl and Jeff will have something, and Pete may return.
Pete will return in GoldenEye 007.
In Bond 25. We don't have a name.
Yes, which it's nothing against Bond. I know it's something they've done, but after the rise of the Skywalkers and Endgame, I think that movie studios should just stop not hiding names because they never live up to the anticipation. Like, I know some people like Rise of the Skywalker. I think it's a terrible name.
I like it, but it's like it's always like kind of something generic, something like
Like it's not a name that you needed to hide.
I do like Rise of the Skywalker, though. Like, I like it. I dig it.
It's better than Endgame, partially because the Russos were so keen on, like, oh, the title of the next Avengers isn't something that was in the previous movie. And then it really turns out to be one of the most iconic lines from the previous movies.
Yeah. Endgame now.
Yeah.
Yes, don't hide your movie titles. Get them out there. There's no reason to hide that shit.
And I mean, just as a final note, reviews aren't out yet, but there has been a lot of positive buzz from screenings for Detective Pikachu. So
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah,
the movie looks like a lot of fun. Like, and like actually pretty cool special effects wise, you know.
Yeah, they've done a lot of. They had a featurette on it, I think this week or last week, where they showed a lot of the designs of the Pokemon. And I have to say, a lot of them really translated well.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, because like I'm seeing some of that Nightmare Fuel that people put out there for like realistic Pokemon, and it's like they made them realistic, but they still kept the kind of core design of the Pokemon without making it. And some of them do look frightening, but I do think that's the nature of that Pokemon.
Right, some Pokemon just look creepy.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that movie more than Endgame, actually. But
so am I. I'm looking forward to Detective Pikachu and Guitar King of Monsters more than Endgame.
Yes, dude, King of Monsters. Super pumped for that one.
There's like really one real movie that I would be excited for. That's Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
I am so disappointed
No.
I'm disappointed we've not got the trailer yet because apparently it's set to Gangsta Paradise.
Dude, oh my god. I cannot wait.
Is there a trailer out?
No, they screened it at a like a movie convention this month, and everybody dropped the description of it, and I'm like, I so want to see this trailer now.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to see that movie. Like, I know it's going to be the worst thing ever. I can't wait.
Yes, I want to see this. Not because I think it's going to be good, but
it's going to be Sonic 2006 bad.
But yeah, I am going to be going to see Endgame in about 7 hours. So,
damn
you! I have to wait. Yeah. I can't even count.
I have never walked.
I'm seeing it Saturday night.
Wait, 7 hours? Are you seated at like, first thing in the morning?
Yes,
damn.
He told me that, like, that's the same, like, it's also kind of awesome, because, like, you get out of the way early in the morning, and just, that's it.
Yeah, well, my original plan...
Sneaking some breakfast with you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stop and get, like, a breakfast sandwich, put it in
my... Got, like, a bunch of egg up your coffee, ass.
Yeah.
And see if they serve coffee at the theater.
I will just say, as a PSA, even though this will probably be out after we've seen it, just be nice to your movie theater workers. Like, some of these people are working. Because, yeah. Like, there are movie theaters that are open pretty much nonstop this entire weekend.
Pretty much all of them. All of them.
And those poor kids are not getting overtime.
No. Like, I mean, I assume most of them probably don't work enough in general to get overtime. Right. But, like, they're working to the bones. And because of the tight turnaround between a lot of these shows, they're getting maybe 20 minutes to clean up the theater for the next group. So, you know, take your trash out with you, clean up your seats. If you spill anything, let the people know ahead of time. Because, you know, it's good for them, and it's also good for the people who come to the theater after you. And, I mean, honestly speaking, it shouldn't be a thing that you need a PSA for. This should be, you're adults. You should do this anyhow. But, you know, just in case.
Yeah, so what, this is a 3-hour movie, right?
Yeah.
So the last screening at the theater I'm going to is 2:45 a.m. tonight, like this morning. That's the last screening for Thursday night.
That's when it starts?
2:45 a.m. And then the first screening is the one I'm going to tomorrow. So
that's like this is like Black Friday for fucking theater, like, workers, man.
The theater is like what? So 2:45, half hour previews, 3:15, 6:15. Like they're basically gonna have enough time to clean the theater and maybe sit down for a minute before the people that are coming to the 8 o'clock show up.
Yeah,
I feel really bad for them.
Like it really like I said, like I nailed. It's like it reminds me of Black Friday. It's like a nightmare. It's like a retail nightmare that never ended for no reason.
It's like and the people that work at the movie theater are like, no, this is why I work in the movie theater, because it's not crazy retail. They finally hit that. There's nuts. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Enjoy Endgame if you're going to see it this weekend.
We're in the Endgame now.
If you're not, you can listen to our podcast next week.
We'll have all seen it except Jeff, and he doesn't give a shit. So
this is true.
Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.